Bitter rumors of quarrels between the kings of England and France, as well as preparations for war, had wrung the heart of the Pope. He feared the gravest losses for the souls and bodies of many, and disasters for both realms and the Holy Land. He was anxious, indeed, that all Christian princes should live in peace, but especially that the kings of England and France should remain at peace, as Mother Church is specially attached to them. Accordingly, he decided to send suitable persons to them to try to restore concord. Would that we ourselves could go to you, and putting aside all other business, thus give proofs of our earnest desire for peace. But the length of the journey and our advanced age will not permit this. He then exhorted Edward to avoid actions that will hurt the church that had done so much for him and his predecessors. It would be hateful in the sight of God and man if violent dissensions should break out between princes so nearly related in blood. He begs him, as a soldier of Christ, a zealous supporter of the true faith, an earnest champion of the church, to abstain from acts which will cause such a conflagration that it will be nigh impossible to find a remedy. So, therefore, devoutly incline your ears to our words and hearken to the prayers of the Apostolic See, that you may not offend God, nay, rather that you may please him by your filial devotion, and may henceforth win his blessing more fully and that of the Apostolic See. As the bearer of this letter, he sends Bertrand, Canon of Lyons, our chaplain, and Edward's ardent partisan. He will give the king further evidence of the Pope's mind. Celestine did all he could to further the cause of peace among Christian princes, especially seeing that he was anxious about the expulsion of the infidel from the Holy Land. He was accordingly overjoyed at the prospect of the close of the Sicilian trouble, and accepted at once the treaty which had been made between the kings of Sicily, Naples, and Aragon. Writing to Charles II on October 1st, he praised him for his unsparing efforts to make peace with James of Aragon, and for his success in having made it. As the treaty between them, he said, concerned the Roman Church, he enumerated and confirmed its terms. On the following day, and here again is manifest the paramount influence of Charles in the papal curia, Celestine, with regret certainly, granted for a year the Saracen tithes from France and England to help him recover Sicily. These were granted on the grounds that its recovery would be of the greatest service to the Crusades on account of its neighborhood to the Holy Land, its fertility, and its possession of all the materials useful for war. A few days later, he wrote to the kings of France and Aragon, using them to put no obstacles in the way of the final conclusion of the peace, and taking advantage of the opportunity to exhort James to break off his illicit connection with the daughter of the King of Castile. But even if Celestine was beguiled in doing many unwise things, his personal sanctity was still working wonders. It subdued the indomitable Guido of Montefeltro. On account of his continual active hostility to the subjects of the Church, he had been excommunicated by Pope Nicholas IV. Hitherto he had paid no heed to the censure. Now, however, he presented himself before Celestine, and professing his sorrow and readiness to make satisfaction, begged absolution from him. The Pope received him most kindly, and promised that he should be duly absolved, but, before the formalities had been completed, he had ceased to be Pope. This, however, was one of his undertakings which Pope Boniface, his successor, did not annul. Guido was duly absolved by him, and began his life of exemplary penance. During this unhappy period, the needs of the states of the Church were not forgotten. In the days of Martin IV, the 12 councils of Benevento, unmindful of their recognized powers, aspired to the supreme control of the city. As a result, the Pope suppressed them altogether. But, taking advantage of the long vacancy of the Holy See, the people re-elected their 12 councils. However, they brought down upon themselves a severe reprimand from Celestine. He annulled their election, and severely prohibited them from again choosing councils. Let it not be misunderstood that Saint Celestine V was not a tremendously effective ruler during a time that the popes had great political and temporal power. One of the first acts of Boniface, his successor, was to undo all the work which Saint Celestine had done during his pontificate, only later to have to reinstate certain things that he had done well despite his short pontificate.